How many people have your Bible today? If you have your Bible, please stand. Raise your Bible in the air and bear witness of God's Word. Beautiful, beautiful. You may be seated, please. Turn, if you will, to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. When you find your place, say, I have it. The word that I taught to the children this morning, somebody say that word with me. Effort. Now put effort in saying effort.
Effort.
Right? It takes a little bit more effort to say it that way, right? That's when you reach down in and you grab something that you don't normally use. You go above and beyond. But that word effort, Paul begins to talk about distinctly the effort you put forth into all these areas in your life. Listen as he speaks in the book of Colossians. And it comes in a chapter, Colossians 3, where he's basically giving you the rules of how to live for the Lord, the rules of holy living, or if you will, the principles of living a life for Christ. Listen as he says this, verse 17. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Let's go on this verse a minute. When I say do, please repeat do with me. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do, all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now listen, he breaks it down in categories. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Now listen to verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, oh, some people kept up. Hold on. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord Jesus, of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth, I know it was just a form of the word, but still, he that doeth, we'll try it again, he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. God is looking for doers, somebody putting forth effort. And Paul is saying, hey, not just in the way that you're living for me when you come together in worship, but also outside of worship. He speaks to wives, he speaks to husbands, he speaks to children, to fathers, to servants. But then he tells all of us, whatsoever you do, do it heartily with all your heart as unto the Lord. Amen. Paul stated in the book of Philippians chapter 3 verse 14, you might be familiar with this, but he made this statement. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was talking about pressing toward that mark. That meant taking that extra effort, right, to press on. Have you ever pressed for something? Have you ever had to just to get that extra bit of energy and motivation? We call that today's time having that drive, right? And you see, that's a disappearing thing as generations begin to come. We don't see the same kind of drive that we used to see. And then when we do see that drive, it's over something that has to do with pleasure. It's either drive to be a better, we want our children to be a better athlete, or drive because we want them to be a better student. And there's nothing wrong with that. But understand, what about the drive to be who God wants you to be? What about the effort that we put forth? Well, this morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, you're here. You put forth some effort to be here. Will God reward that? Amen. Absolutely. He always rewards effort. Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians 9:24, he says, run that you may obtain the prize. Running, again, is an action word, right? He's not talking about, hey, casually sashay for God, right? What is he saying?
Run.
Tell me again.
Run!
What did Jenny say to Forrest when he needed to do something quick? What did she say?
Run.
Run, Forrest, run! Take action! All those things, you say, hey, I'm not ready for this. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. You need to get up and be ready to run. God wants you to run. He wants to put forth effort. So, with our scripture being in mind, I have to tell you, I've been as excited about sharing this as I have any other sermon I've ever preached before. Several months ago, God laid something on my heart, and sometimes people say, where do the sermons come from? They come from everywhere. They come from everywhere but the internet, okay? So they come from real life experiences. They come from just reading a scripture. But this particular time, I want to take you back because I want to walk you through this because I thought it was neat the way God's going to make this analogy so we can relate to it. It does no good if we come in here and we hear what God says and we leave here and forget it. So you need something that will stick in your mind. So, about a month and a half, I want to let you in. I'm sharing some personal things here, little things that go on in here. So I'm driving down the road and I'm in my truck, and I've told you I love my truck, right? I love my truck for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons is my gas mileage on my truck. I like it. The truck I used to have doesn't get as good gas mileage, but it's got some new gauges on it. And it's new to me. I've had it almost 2 years, but it's got new gauges. And the gauges, one of the gauges that I saw, which is very neat, is a gauge that says miles per gallon. Well, if you know me like my family does, every time I take a trip, I'm reading the odometer, I'm seeing how many miles, I'm counting all these things, I play all these little number games in my mind, and how can I get here, and what time can I get here without speeding and do this and get the best gas mileage, and here's how you drive to do this, and can I beat the time on the GPS without doing, just all these little things, right? But this miles per gallon thing seems to overtake me, because what I'll do is I want to, at the end of that gas tank, the end of the tank, and I fill up every week, and at the end of that tank, I'm able to see how many miles I got out of that tank. So it's my own personal little thing, and you say, preacher, we need to pray for you. Please do. But I believe God makes you like that because he's going to bring this sermon out of here today. So during this quest to get my miles per gallon over what the manufacturer says that I can get so that I can take a picture of it and say, this is what I got. Look at how many things. And so I drive differently. And when I say that, I've understood that if you keep your foot in that truck, you won't get as good a gas mileage. So I find myself, when nobody is behind me, letting off the gas if I'm going down an incline. You say, are you crazy? Maybe, but understand, I can leave the parking lot and accelerate for a while, and when I get to a certain spot, I can take my foot off the gas and accelerate all the way in to my home, which is basically coasting for about half a mile, and I can watch the miles per gallon increase. On the interstate, I can ease up on it when I know that I'm going down and I'm thinking I'm getting better. Does anybody ever do this? Thank you. Thank you for your couple of you. But listen, it's the thing that I'm doing. So I thought one day I was doing this and it dawned on me. It's like, listen, look at this long hill. I approached this long hill and I thought, this is great. So as I got to that hill and I knew, this is a mile. You know, you could see straight down it. I let off the gas, and I thought, watch this thing. Watch it. I'm going to just do wonders for this tank of gas right here. This in my world. So as I was going down that hill, you know, God began to speak. You say, are you crazy? Yes, listen. Before I got to the bottom of the hill and I had decelerated down to a slow speed, I noticed that I had a hill to climb. And as I started climbing that other hill, my mileage started going down and down and down, and I lost every bit of points that I picked up, every little click of the odometer that it did going down the hill when I was coasting. And here, I've been trying to coast to save this gas mileage and to save this thing, but understand, coasting only works if you're going downhill. And if you coast for too long, you end up in the valley.
That's right.
Get this now. I'm sharing this with you because when we coast, we're not accelerating. We're actually on the way to a lower place. We have to accelerate, or we have to use more power, more effort in order to go uphill. The work, the labor is in the climb. And how many people know that you're going to have uphill in your life? So I wanted to to explore this. And man, the Bible just started leading here and here and here. So let me give you the definition of coast first of all. Because see, I was a champion of coasting. The definition of coast is a run or movement in or on a vehicle without the use of power. You see, this seems like common knowledge to anyone who's maybe even ridden a bike before, but what we fail to consider is that this same principle can be applied to our lives. To coast is to move without power. Some principles here about coasting, if you will. And since I know that I'm speaking to a crowd, maybe hasn't driven, we'll take it back to our early years. Anybody in here ever ride a bike? Let's talk about riding a bike. You see, if we're riding our bike and we stop pedaling, we will begin to what? Somebody tell me again. I would think if I was a cyclist that part of the joy would be getting to coast. You know, when I was a young man, I would love to have those times where you just could coast, right? But you can't coast but for so long, and then you have to start what? You have to start pedaling. Understand something. We'll only coast for as long as we're not meeting an obstacle like a hill. And in life, anybody have a life in here where you never meet an obstacle like a hill or anything like that? No. So would coasting be a principle that you can apply? You can apply it and it will get you where? To the bottom of the what? Do you ever think about it like that? You know, I didn't, because now I'm looking back and realizing I spent a lot of time coasting. Now, get this. You see, if we want to keep going, we have to put forth the effort and pedal. If the hill is steep, then I don't know what you used to do, but if it's steep, sometimes you have to stand up and pedal. Anybody ever get up on them and stand up and pedal, right? You stand up and pedal, that's really taking some effort. I've been through some things in life to where I didn't just need to pedal, I needed to stand up and pedal. Any of you? If we decide not to pedal and to coast while we're going up a hill, not only will we stop, once we stop, you'll begin to go backwards. You see, coasting works both ways. Now, hopefully, you're making this picture in your mind. We're on a bike. You're going up the hill. You're stopping pedaling, and you see yourself go back. Or you're going down the hill, and you coast, but then you get to the bottom of the hill, and you realize something's got to happen, effort's got to happen, or I stay right here. You see, even if we stop pedaling on flat ground, another principle of this effort, not coasting, is that we will come to a stop if we stop pedaling eventually on flat ground. That means there's not even an obstacle. That's just regular everyday life. If you stop pedaling, you will coast for a while, but will you keep coasting? No. And if you stop coasting on your bike, what happens when you come to a stop? Can you just stand there? No, what happens? You fall over. You see, some people think just maintaining is okay or staying in one place, but do you realize you're going to fall if you're not moving forward? God wants you to move forward. So wrap these things around in your mind. Understand that if you come to a standstill, then you'll eventually fall over unless you start pedaling again. And then if you coast for a long time, you have to know that you're gradually going downhill, and pretty soon you'll be at the bottom. The valley is at the bottom, and if we coast for too long, that's where we'll be. But more importantly, that's where we'll stay if we don't start pedaling again. Anybody in here want to stay in the valley? No, of course not. We don't want to be in the valley. But do you realize a lot of people are in the valley because they've coasted there and they never started pedaling again? You see, of course, today we're not talking about riding a bike, even though that's the analogy that we use. We're talking about moving through life. There's a lot of people who have stopped moving through life. They're at a standstill. They're at a low place, a valley. They're not seeing anything new. They're not experiencing the joy of the ride. You see, if you don't move forward, you're not experiencing the joy of the ride. Yes, You saved your energy, and me with my truck. Yes, I saved my gas, but what I wasn't thinking about as a child of God, I ride in my truck and I save my gas, and I'm trying to get the best gas mileage. As a child of God, He doesn't want me to coast because I don't have to worry about the gas. The energy is always supplied. It was paid for. I can use it. I've got a limitless tank of gas. Why in the world would I want to coast? Well, because I'm not saving His energy, I'm saving my own. And that's why we began the coast. You see, Paul spoke about doing. Do all these things with all your heart. Do it. Run. And then he spoke in Colossians about being a wife, a husband, a parent. You know, there are people coasting in their marriage right now. People I'm speaking to, people that'll be listening to this on the radio, on website, podcast, they're coasting in their marriage. Maybe you have before. What does that mean? Well, let's just see. Coasting is to move without power. There's no effort being put into it. Do you know that a marriage cannot stay healthy if you're coasting in it? There's got to be effort put into it. There are people that are coasting at their job. You know, all this came to be because over a series of a couple of days and the way, like I said, I was in a particular spot where I was happened to see that, and God laid coasting on my mind. I'd been around somebody that was working, and I asked them how they were doing, and they said, oh, it's good now, I'm just coasting. You know, that means, hey, they were done putting effort forth, right? I'm coasting through this. Understand, there are people that are coasting in their job. They just go in and they coast through it. There are people that are coasting in their relationship with their family. Yes, that's my family, those are my kids, that's my wife, but I've got things to do, and these are my hobbies, and that's my husband, but this is what I want to do, and so I coast through life and do what I want to do, and my time is split in trying to fulfill me, and I like this show, and I like to go on Facebook and read what's going out with somebody else, but I coast in my family. I've got my family. They love me. They're fine. Do you know how many millions of people are coasting in their family relationship and not putting effort into it? Is it bad? I don't know. What do you think? Look at society at the breakdown of the family. You say, what's happened? Well, people started coasting in their relationships. You know that people coast in their care for themselves. They just figure, hey, I'm going to maintain myself, and God tells us to take care of ourselves. People coast in the maintenance of their own lives. But today, I want you to understand there are many Christians who are coasting in their walk with God. You say, what are they coasting in? They're coasting in their faith. And this is the question that we need to explore today. Are you coasting in your faith? Are you coasting? You say, why do we have to talk about this? Because God laid it so intently on my heart and made me look back in my life and let me be able to see that the times when my life was miserable is when I decided to coast in my faith. Oh, yes, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I didn't coast to Him. I came to Him, and I poured out my heart, and I asked Him to save me. But then there was a time in my life when I had other interests, and I had things, but I coasted in my faith. What do you mean? Well, there was that power that He had to save me, and I thought, well, I'm saved, but let me live for me. So I shut off the power that He was giving me to live for Him, and I coasted for Him. Where did you end up, Pastor? At the bottom of the hill. Fallen over on my bike, coasting. There are people now that are coasting. God requires effort. He gives power to do it. If He gives you health and breath and life, you know what He wants you to do? He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to put forth effort to come to Him. You did that this morning. You say, that's right, so I'm not coasting. I don't know. Have you done it every time you get a chance to? Then you can tell whether you're coasting or not. How consistent are you in using that power? What is it? What excuse is it this time that will keep you from being able to pedal? You know, that's the way it was with me. Oh, there's always something, right? There's always something that I'm putting effort forth to. I'm not coasting in that. I'll just coast on God while I'm doing these other things. You say, well, you don't understand, Pastor. You don't understand. I've got obligations to my family. Listen, God gave you that family. He says, don't coast on me. I'll take care of that family. You don't understand, Pastor. I've got job obligations. Listen, God gave you that job. You're not coasting at your job. You're coasting on Him. Guess how good that's going to work out for you, Christian? It's not. He says, but you shall receive power. We talked about this power last Sunday night, right? This power that He gives us. But if you don't use your power, you're doing nothing but what? Somebody tell me. Tell me again. Tell the person beside of you. Coasting. This is a question we really need to explore today. Are we coasting in our faith? When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, do you know that we're called to live for Him? Do you hear that? Live for Him. Say that with me. Now that word, that phrase just goes right off of our tongue. Hey, I'm trying to live for God. No, living is an action word. Living requires an action. When He says live for Him, that's move and breathe and act. When we accept Jesus' crucifixion and death and sacrifice for our sins, understand we're agreeing to crucify our old self. And our old self wants to live for us, and we're agreeing to live for Him. When you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you agreed to what in that covenant? I will live for you, not just be alive with you in me. If I were to come to my wife and I would say, hey, I just want to be alive while you're alive, would that be the same thing as saying, I will devote myself and I will live for you? No. When we say we'll live for Christ, it means that we're going to take action for Him. You see, Christ lives in us. And the one thing that we know about Jesus is that Jesus never coasted. He lived to do the will of God. He always was active in His mission, always willing to put forth effort. I like the way Paul put it in Galatians chapter 2. You might want to write this down, Galatians chapter 2. Now, listen to Paul's statement in verse 20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Say it with me, nevertheless, I what? Listen to Paul's statement. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You know what Paul was saying? Paul was saying, I'm not just coasting. Christ lives in me. Christ never coasted. And so I'm not living anymore. He's living in me. So Paul was saying, this life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the power of the Son of God who is in me. He never coasted, so I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You say, I just don't have the spiritual energy to put effort. Then you need to ask yourself, are you saved? Oh, preacher, I can't believe you said that. I just don't feel the effort to put forth. I can't muster up the power, the effort to put forth, to be a consistent Christian, to consistently come in this place, to consistently be able to seek Him and to read His Word. No, I'm not talking about touching it every Sunday morning. I'm talking about a consistent walk with Him. You need to ask yourself, if I never have been able to consistently muster that energy, please ask yourself if you're saved. Oh, I can't believe you said that. Why? There's got to be a conviction somewhere. There's a power that's in there. So what you need to do is be able to say, hey, do I have the power to live for Christ? Then why am I not living? Why am I coasting on Him? You see, to have the power, you would see that you're using that power or being inclined to use that power. You can't stay coasting for so long and just be okay with it. Now, if you're saved, realize you didn't coast to Him. You can't coast to God. You can't say, okay, next Tuesday, I think I've done about everything that I need to do and I'm wrapping my mind around this. I think I'm going to get saved next Tuesday. If somebody happens to come to me and say something about it, then I'll tell them. No, listen, God speaks to us and calls us. You have to come when He calls you. He calls you under conviction. He says that you have to come to him. You have to put forth effort. You can't just coast into God. It requires effort to confess. It requires effort to repent. It requires effort to make a covenant, doesn't it? Any other covenant requires effort. You see, Paul was saying here in Galatians 2, he used the power of God through Jesus Christ to live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He used Jesus' power in him to live, not coast. Remember again, to coast is to move without power, and there are many Christians that are moving through life not using the power of God, but instead coasting. I was one of them for so many years. So you talk about God just really driving this home. When he laid it on my heart and I started going through the understanding of the principles of coasting, and I can't even tell you how I got to the next place because it was so overwhelming. He kept running it through my mind. All I kept saying was guilty, 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 guilty. I didn't coast in my job. I didn't coast in my pleasure. I didn't coast in my effort to retweet. To achieve material satisfaction. I didn't coast in what I wanted to do, but I coasted on him. Well, how was life then? It was miserable. I didn't have any peace, but I had all those things. I didn't have any peace. What's a pound of peace going for today? It's priceless, right? What Paul was saying is, in my life as a believer and Christian, I know that Jesus Christ lives in me. I don't live for myself anymore. I live, I move, I act according to what the Lord leads me to do. He gave me his life to me, and I agreed to live my life to him, so I don't coast in my faith. Paul's making this implication. I don't coast in my service to him. I put forth effort. I keep peddling because Jesus, who never coasted, is not going to lead me to coast. What did Joshua, what did he hear God tell him before he was called to lead? Be strong and courageous. What did he tell the people? Be strong and courageous. It takes effort. What was the Great Commission? Go. That's an action word, right? It takes effort. What is he saying? Pedal. Accelerate. And Paul later gave us the key. He said, you know how I keep going? You know how I can do all these things? I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. What is he saying? The power source that I have. The tank of gas that I have, you can't use up. It's a power that lets me put forth effort. If I want to put forth effort towards God, if I want to be able to accelerate, if I want to be able to move towards him, then I have to use his power. If not, I will coast. Paul tells us as Christians that we're not going to have the peace of God if we're not actively doing what he tells us to do. We're not going to experience the peace of God if we're coasting. So Philippians 4, 8 and 9, listen. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. And then he has a big word here. All those things he says, do, D-O, do. Say it with me. What did he say? He didn't just say, here's some ideas you may want to ponder. If you find the opportunity, you may want to be able to maybe achieve these things. No, he said one word. He says, do, and the God of peace will be with you. Did you hear that? Do it, and the God of peace will be with you. Don't do it, and the God of peace will not be with you. God gives us clear roadmap to say, hey, you want the peace that I can put on you? Do these things. Doing requires action. The person coasting is not doing. You say, oh, yes, but when I'm coasting, I'm conserving. What are you conserving for? What are you going to do with what you conserve? So, I want you to understand, we're called as believers who've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ to do. We're called to live righteously. We're called to praise Him. We're called to worship Him. We're called to serve Him. We're called to witness for Him. We're called to do for Him. And doing takes, somebody tell me, effort. You see, we're called to put forth effort to live for the Lord and to live out our faith. We're not called to coast in our faith. There are a lot of people who get saved and accept the work that Jesus did in our salvation and then begin to coast in their faith, knowing that they will eventually end up in heaven. Don't you know, I was one of those people who put my spiritual walk on hold and decided to coast on into heaven while I obtained my material life and what I wanted. Is there anybody else in here who went through a time and you decided to do that, knowing and confident, hey, I'm going to get to heaven because I'm saved? Do you think you were coasting? If you do, raise your hand. How was that coasting? How was your walk with the Lord? Was it close? No. You're not close when you're coasting. You're going downhill. I don't think that we get a clear picture of ourselves until we look at ourselves as a Christian who is supposed to be actively moving. So our mind grasps this principle, and it's easy enough to apply it to other people, but the goal today is for us to apply it to ourselves. You see, to live for God is a term of activity. Live is a verb. It's an action word. The reality is that we're not truly living for God if we're coasting in our faith. Did you hear that? You're not truly living for God if you're coasting in your faith. If you say, well, I was saved 20 years ago, and I've been living for God ever since then. Well, if you've been coasting in your faith, you've made a false statement. You're not living for God if you're coasting in your faith. You see, live is an action word. Understand, we're supposed to be able to put action forth, to be able to get closer to Him. God is not going to be in a low position. God's going to be in a position to where we look up to Him. We have to strive to get better. We're man. We're on this plane. So there has to be some acceleration in our spiritual life. The reality is that we're not truly living for God if we're coasting and we're just existing as Christians while we live for ourselves, while there's no effort or little effort in our actions to live for Him. You say, well, you know, I do this, and that's good. That's good. How many things can you put with this? If you're quick to say, well, I do this for God, and then you're sort of quiet, then that's a little effort. It takes a little effort to coast. If you just pedal a time or two, you can coast a little bit longer. And sometimes that's what we do. I know it's what I did. When I knew that I was slowing down, I might pick it up and, hey, I need to go do this. And so I would pedal for a while. And then guess what would happen? What would I start doing again? Because coasting's easier, right? Remember, Paul said in Galatians 2:20, the life which I now live in the flesh, referring to his new life as a Christian, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul was saying, I live this life as a Christian. I'm active in my life for Christ. I give my life as a living, acting, effort-filled sacrifice because Christ gave his life for me. Did it take effort? Did it take effort for the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to suffer and bleed and die for us? Did it take effort for him to be able to withstand the mockery and the cruel punishment? Did it take effort to live on this earth for 33 years and never sin? Yes! He was continually pedaling. He was continually pedaling. He never coasted. And because we accepted that, how in the world can we turn around and say, hey, listen, I've got these things. I'm going to coast on you a while. You say, well, I would never say it to Jesus. Right. It would be a little bit better maybe if we would than to act like we're not doing it and not saying it. You see, you can't even turn around and start pedaling until you first acknowledge, hey, I've been coasting. You can't get saved till you realize you're lost. You can't come back to God till you realize you're away. You can't stop pedaling until you realize you can't start pedaling until you realize I'm not moving. I need to pedal. Understand, this is one of those messages. You need to ask yourself, are you coasting? Because you're not going to start pedaling unless you realize I'm going to eventually stop coasting and be stopped either in the bottom of the valley or I'm going to fall over. God is referred to in the Bible 130 times as the living God. The living God, meaning he's alive, he's acting, he's continually orchestrating, he's continually moving, he's continually listening, he's watching, he's speaking, he's acting. Praise God, we're not serving a dead God, we're serving and worshiping a living and active God. He has always been a living and active God from the time the scripture started that said, in the beginning, God. And what did he do? God created, right? And God sustains. He's acting every day. He's still acting in your life and my life. And in between that, he says that every sparrow that needs to be fed out there, he can feed them. Every bit of every flower that comes up, he can turn it the color and clothe the grass of the field more eloquently than Solomon was ever clothed. God is acting in every kind of way. He's all powerful. So if God is an active God, and we accept God's salvation, do you think that this living God wants us to be inactive and coast? Of course not. Next principle, listen. Jesus is referred to as the Son of the living God. Well, why wouldn't he just be called the Son of God? The Son of the living God. The Bible is intentional in putting this in here. Why? Well, listen to what Peter said in Matthew 16:16. He says, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. When Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, you're Christ, you're Messiah, you're the promised one, you're the Son of the living God. And then Jesus, he wanted to make sure, if you remember this sermon that he preached in John chapter 6, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life, and went on to say in verses 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Living, what does that mean? That means it's working, it's moving, it's acting, it's living. Is this just ironic? Or are we just going in and finding these words? No, these are descriptive names that God said, yes, that describes us well. I'm the living God. He's the living Son of God. He's the bread of life. Jesus said, I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Does that sound like Jesus coasted? Paul refers to Jesus also as the lively stone or the living stone. I mean this active, this show of strength and active, meaning the cornerstone. You have to have him as the cornerstone. But he talks about the living stone. You see, we're looking at God, we're looking at Jesus. And so if you come to God by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior and you become a child of God, do you think, knowing that Jesus was described as the Son of the living God, then you would be the son or the daughter of the living God? Do you think that he would want you to be called the son of the living God or the daughter of the living God and then not be active? Well, no. Man, if I see one of my children being lazy, not putting effort forth for something, I'm on them. I want to see diligence. I want to see this persistence, this drive, this diligence. Why? You don't just represent your name. You represent my name. Parents, do you feel that way? Get your children up out of bed. Don't let them lay in the bed. Make them get in there and do some stuff in the house. Quit doing for them. Let them see there's a time in their life when they are going to have to be diligent and do. That's right. You can't keep doing for them. Why? Because they will coast. They'll be taught to coast. And they'll coast not only in their life, they'll coast in their faith. And if you look at the generations coming out today and ask the employers, what is the biggest problem you have with the workforce coming out of colleges today? They have no drive. They're not motivated, self-motivated. God wants us to be motivated to not coast, but to climb, to pedal. Tell me if I'm saying something wrong. You're living in the same society I'm living in, right? Jesus' life was a life of action. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 30, that he lived not to do his own will, but the will of the Father who sent him. You realize in his sacrificial death, we see his action also. He gave his life so that we could live. He gave his life so that we could live. He gave his life so that we could live. There was an action. Jesus could not coast into the cross. Jesus could not coast into the grave. Jesus could not coast up out of the grave. Jesus could not coast and ascend into heaven. Jesus could not coast to the right hand of God the Father. All these required actions. And if we become children of God, then he requires us to be active and moving, not coasting. Because Jesus didn't coast, we can live.
Amen.
So question, are we living? Are we acting? Are we a living representation of a child of the living God? Or are we coasting in our faith? You see, God wants us to be active in our walk with him as our Heavenly Father. He wants us to be children that are living and active the same way that our Heavenly Father, the living God, is active. He wants us to have the same mindset that Jesus is. He tells us in Philippians 2, being like-minded, just like Jesus. You see, the Son of the living God had a mentality of being able to pedal, to be active, to continue to climb because, well, listen, he was trying to do the will of his Father, the living God. When you accept the living God by accepting Jesus Christ, the living bread, the living stone, the bread of life, don't you know that we can't be that one little dangling thing that's part of the family of God that's coasting if everybody else is acting? Have you ever been in that group to where everybody was putting forth this effort? And then you saw that one person that wasn't? You ever been in that work environment where, okay, we're all working hard and look at the person that's not? You ever been there? What do you think about that person? Do you know that we're that person when we're coasting on God's sacrifice for us and Jesus' sacrifice and all God's effort? We're that person, that part of the family that's not doing what we need to do. Oh me, right? That's the grave reality of it. Right now is a good time to run through your mind and examine the things in your life that you say, well, listen, I know you're talking that to them, but right now in my life, I can't do it. You know why you can't do it? Because you're not coasting in something else. You're not coasting in all these other things, so you have to coast with God. And guess how many of those other things will be blessed? None of them. You can't coast with him. There's a lot of people that are in the valley and don't even know it. You keep wondering why life doesn't work out the way I want it to work out. Why am I so miserable? Why does these things keep happening to me? Why am I so dysfunctional? Why does my family seem so dysfunctional? Why does my job life, why are my finances up and down? Why is this going on? Why is this going on? Check first and see if you're coasting. You might be at the bottom of the valley. Your bike might be teetering because you've stopped pedaling. Listen, there's a time where you got to get up. You got to get on. You got to start pedaling. And sometimes it gets bad. You got to start pedaling standing up. You have the picture in your mind, right? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, do you know that we're labeled sons and daughters of God? He tells us when we get saved, he says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. He says, we're part of his family, part of the family of the living God, Father God. We're children of God. If we want to represent our Father, we can't coast. In Hebrews chapter 10, I want you to see the letter to the Hebrews here, verse 16 through 25. I want you to listen to this. I'm going to wrap it up. Verse 16, he says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and into their minds, and I will write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Can anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
I'll remember them no more. Is he going to bring them back up? No. You know, a lot of people struggle. They say, I just can't get over these things I did. Listen, if you confess them to God and give them to God, he said, I forget them. You need to, right? I covered them with my blood. You need to. He said, I will remember them no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, listen to this, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. He's talking about the most holy place. As you read the Old Testament, you will see that the inner sanctum, the most holy place, the holiest of holies, was the inner sanctum where the presence of God was, first in the tent of the meeting, then in the temple, as only the high priest could go into here and make sacrifice. Man was not allowed to. It was covered by a veil that kept man out. And he's saying, Jesus Christ, by this new and living way in verse 20, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he that is faithful has promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. He gave us the ability to have boldness, not coast. A person that's coasting is not going to witness. A person that's coasting is not going to serve. A person that's coasting is not going to be a good representation of God. They're trying to take care of themselves and conserve something for themselves. I know I was. I love it. It says, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. You see, Jesus' actions removed the barrier, the veil, so that we could come into the presence of God. Glory to God. We don't come into it through the sacrifice of bulls or lambs or goats anymore. We come into it through the sacrifice of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. You see, we can't receive the benefit of Jesus' action of sacrifice unless we have the boldness to have the action of coming to him and accepting that specific sacrifice by believing in what he did, confessing our sin, asking him to forgive us, and asking him to save us. We can't coast our way to God. We have to take action even to be saved. Do you know why a lot of people are not saved? They never come to salvation knowledge, because they will sit in a service like this and God will speak to them and they will ask themselves, hey, listen, am I saved? Have I truly ever accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? I know about God. I believe in God. And I think the preacher is just saying, hey, listen, God's saying you have to confess with your mouth, but I don't really want to say it to God in front of anybody. I'll just do this after I get back out to my car, back out to my room. There's no boldness in that. Listen, you're not really trying to put forth effort to pedal to God, to come to God. And some people will say, well, listen, not now. It's not convenient. This person is in here. I don't want to do this. Listen, God says, you can't coast to me. There has to be a time when you leave all those excuses away and you come to me, come to me, come to me, come to me is his call. Coming requires effort. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He that heareth my voice and openeth the door, I'll come unto him. You see, he will come if you make the effort to accept him. You cannot coast to God. You can't accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Just say, I'll just happen to meet him somewhere. There'll be a time. You don't coast to him. It requires an effort. To confess is an effort. To repent is an effort. To get on your knees before God, it takes effort. To cry out to him takes effort. The people that never put the effort will never receive the salvation. The people that never get up and open the door and invite him in. And then he says, in verse 24 and 25 of this same Hebrews chapter 10, he said, we need to provoke each other to continual action. He says we need to encourage each other to live a life of action for God. Active worship, active praise, active prayer life, active study of his word. He tells us to come together and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. He says, don't stop coming together to worship me, because if you do, you will begin to coast. Why is this verse so important? Because if you stop assembling with the believers, you're going to begin to coast. You say, oh, what basis? Understand something. If you stop pedaling because you think he has done all the work already and you're okay, understand you're going against what God says about us. He made us. He knew. We need each other in the church to keep telling us to keep peddling. Listen, Mike, I know you're weak right now. Keep peddling. And then when I get strong, I need to be able to look back and say, hey, I know you're weak. Keep peddling. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Come in and hear the word. Receive the power.
Amen.
Why? Because if you don't, you'll start to coast. And if you start to coast on him, then you're going to lose the peace that you could have as a child of God, because you're living outside of his will. You're not representing the living God. Hey, I think it's good stuff. I was excited about it. You know why? It painted a picture to me, and it said, this is where you're at. Don't get back there again. You know what you need to do, Mike? Keep peddling. When you get up in the morning and you think, I could do this, and I could do this, and I could do this, but I ain't going to have time to do this for the Lord. Listen, you're coasting on him. Keep peddling. Keep peddling. And guess what? He makes time for me to do all the other things as long as I don't coast for him. And some of the things before I even get to them, he does them already. Imagine that. I was peddling for myself for a long time and coasting on him. There's a familiar verse in Romans 12. I want to end with this. Verses 1 and 2. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You know what he's saying? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Not God, it's Mike. I don't know what you can do with me because I'm only going to give you a little bit. That's not a living sacrifice. An active part of your kingdom. That's what I want to present myself. Which is your reasonable service means it's what you should do. Why? Because action was done for you. If action is done for you, Christian, your reasonable service is to come back in front of God and present yourself. And I say, Mike Schoaf here, ready for action. Ready for action. What qualifications do you have? I have none, God, but I have been indwelled by the power of the Holy Ghost through Jesus Christ, who was always active, who was always living, and I don't know what to do on my own, but I know that he'll lead me. He'll open the doors I can't open. He said he'll give me the words I can't speak. He'll give me knowledge that I don't have. He'll give me utterance that I can't say. This is what God will do. Ready for action. Are you willing to come and be active? Yes, sir. Okay, let's go. Don't coast. Are you coasting? Colossians 1:10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We can't be complacent in our walk with God as a Christian. If we become complacent as a child of God and start coasting, then we won't increase in our knowledge of him. We won't be active in our service to him. We won't be pleasing to him. If this happens, we won't see his blessings on our lives. There's Christians living everywhere that do not have the blessings of God on their life. What is the one reason, Mike? Because they're coasting. God can't bless coasting. He said, what if you get tired? He said, he'll carry you. He said, he'll carry you. Let me summarize. God is a living and active God. He does not coast. Jesus Christ is the living bread, the living stone that we're called to build our life upon. Jesus never coasted. He's not coasting now. He is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for all those that take action to come to God. He never has a day of coasting. The Bible says, even describing God, he never slumbers, he never sleeps. Ask yourself today this question, please. Have you ever taken action to come to God through Jesus Christ? There are people listening today that have never taken that initial action to come to God and accept his salvation by accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. You say, well, what do I need to do? Well, the first thing you need to do is recognize, hey, listen, it's going to require action for me to come to God, and I recognize Jesus' action. He went to the cross. He was a sinless, lived a sinless life, which required action. He came to the cross, and he said, I will give my life. And God said, I'm giving my son to you. He's giving his life to you. Will you accept it? To accept something, it requires what? Action. You admit that you're a sinner and you say, God, I can't come to you because of my sin. I need to use what Jesus did, his action, because Jesus was not a coaster. I need to use his action. Come into my heart and save me. And then he will have action again. He will come. He will take away your sins and remember them no more against you, forgive you of your sins, and you can become a child of God. And then once you become a child of God, he says, the one thing I don't want you to do is what? Coast. I want you to live for me. If you've done that, if you took that action of repentance and came to the living God by accepting the actions of the living Son of God, then ask yourself, are you still peddling to get closer to him? Where are you at right now? Are you still peddling to get closer to him? Are you putting effort to worship him? Are you putting effort to praise him, to talk to him, to witness for him, to know him better? Are you peddling so that you can get closer to God and increase your position with him? Peddling so that you can actually pursue pleasing him? Or are you coasting? As a child of the living Father God, we are called to actively pursue our relationship with Father God. This will not happen if we are coasting. Just a simple question today, because I realized this principle painted such a picture and it's such a problem in so many lives. Ask yourself today, are you coasting? Father God, I love you and I praise you and I thank you for your word today. I pray, God, that you would speak to hearts at this time. And Lord, if we find ourselves in a position of coasting on you, God, I pray that right now action is taken. Let the response be an action. Let those who have accepted your Son Jesus as Savior come and boldly bow before you and recognize their position and make, Lord, this commitment to you that tells you that they're going to use this power and not coast, that they're going to pursue you, they're going to be peddling for you. And God, for those who have never accepted the salvation you offer through Jesus, let them take action right now, not coast to you, but run to you. Lord, let them come and want to accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.